Who's Back When.
Hello, podcast land, and welcome to episode B026 of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast. That's right, this is a bonus episode. I am Ponkin, and I'm joined tonight by the Drew. The Drew!
Duh. Wait, I hate that.
You just correct... Oh, well done. Fantastic.
Drew
the
me
Druid.
In.
Well, I mean, if you insist, the Druid. Yes, that's right. This is a bonus episode. It is possibly, I mean, unless you're listening back to this, unless you're tuning in from the future, the far-flung future, this is not the classic serial review that you may have been expecting that we had actually announced was going to drop today. Scheduling conflicts. Can we say that? Shall we say... What shall we say? What is the official excuse?
Yes, the official line is there was a scheduling conflict for reasons of...
health.
Yes.
Shall we say that? Can we say that? We can say that.
Yeah, and poorliness. And that's it. You can't argue with that podcast line.
Yeah, exactly. That gives us carte blanche. So, that being said, we will probably be sitting down to record the next Classic Who serial, which is going to be The Mind Robber. That's the one, in just a couple of days' time. So yes. Stay tuned.
Wish us or our co-hosts well.
And thanks for thinking of us, Podcast Land. So we didn't want to leave you without an episode of Who Back When this week. So we have...
No one should have to suffer that.
Exactly. It's already getting cold out there. It would be rendered so much worse even if you had to go one more week without us.
You're assuming that
in your earballs
our listeners are from the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's just starting to warm up. They're like, what can I listen to when I'm lying on the beach?
That's true. The statistics do point at a...
Statistics? No, what, you mean like where people tend to write in from?
Oh, excellent segue. So we've decided we're going to sit down and do a mailbag ep. We've been doing this show. Who Back When has been in existence for, what, 3 years?
More than three years.
Over 3 years. And, we've mentioned mail and tweets and messages on the website and so on and so forth from the good people, the good ladies and gentlemen of Podcast Land on numerous occasions. But we've not that often, quite rarely, in fact, we've read them out on the show. So we decided, screw this. We're going to have an episode devoted entirely to our listeners. And I think it's going to be kind of fun because, okay, spoiler alert, I've read all of these myself. This will be a cold reading for Drew, though.
Yes, I know nothing.
And some of these, I mean, okay, I will spoil this. Some of them are positive, some of them are not.
Well, that's good. We'll have a balanced appraisal.
Yeah.
And I can, let's think of this as my annual review, and I can learn lessons going forward.
this is like your probational hearing. Okay, excellent. Okie dokie. Shall we start at the very bottom? Shall we do this? shall we do this in chronological order?
Let's.
Given that I am not the only person who speaks Swedish on this podcast, I think you should read the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but my Swedish accent is appalling. You be the judges, Podcast Land. This first email, subject mini review, is from Cal, sent November 11th, 2014. Tjena, är du verkligen Svenne? Where are you from, Ponken? I mean, I guess they covered all the bases there, because they should have said varifrån kommer ni, Ponken, but...
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very polite
as well.
But
they were like, in case he's English and just faking it, we better explain it for the poor idiot.
Yeah. Also, not really a mini review.
Not at all.
Sorry, Kyle, I had to point that out. I think that was used. That was done using the old form that was on the website. So, and mini review was one of the options. I think it was actually the default option. I think that explains it. Anyway, Kyle, nej, jag är inte riktigt Sven. However, so no, I'm not really Swedish. I am from Sweden, though. I think we've probably mentioned that on the podcast a few times. You and I think, have exchanged Swedish banter at least once.
Occasionally, but it took me years to realize your complex ancestry/heritage. Basically, you're European man.
I'm pan-European. I'm a man without a country. But yes, I was born and raised in Sweden, in Stockholm. Where are you from, Cal? Are you Swedish? Did you just Google that phrase? Who knows?
Let us know and we'll read it out on the next mailbag app in 2019.
How weird is it, though, that you also speak Swedish, Drew?
A little.
A little weird. Kind of weird. Yes. I was going to say kinda. You say a little, I say kinda.
It's just coincidental.
I think it's fantastic.
How about I say lite grann?
Nice one. You do this thing, you have like a grimace, a Swedish grimace. Every time you say something in Swedish, you have like, you pull a face.
It's because you speak it, and I know how bad it must sound to your ears, but it's only your good grace and generosity.
No, it's great.
Should we move on to the next one?
Okay, let's do that. I'm really sorry. The next one, it's also kind of about me, unfortunately. This does date back to May 2015. Wait, hang on. I'm going to do a tangent. When did you join Who Back When? When was your first episode?
May 2015. The
really?
Idiot's Lantern, N021.
In May 2015. So this must have been, this was May 3rd. I'm assuming this was before your first episode.
Probably.
That's pretty cool. Little did they know what awaited them. This one comes from The Master.
Wow.
Yeah, this is...
I'm surprised you're not more excited by this. That's why you didn't tell us at the time.
I'm super excited. The thing is, I've read this message.
Oh.
Shall I read it? Shall I read it?
Do you want to read it?
I should read it. Okay, so The Master goes... By the way, hi, The Master. How are you doing? The Master goes, I don't get it. Is Ponkin your surname? Why are you called by your surname? Are you in the military or a British boarding school? What's up with that? It's a little douchey. Love the podcast. There is so much shit going on in that message. What is that?
He's searching wildly for an explanation for your douchiness, man.
Yeah, thanks. It's very kind of you, The Master.
Well, are you going to answer any of his questions?
No. Okay, I will say, Ponkin is my nickname. It's not a surname or anything.
On Facebook, you're Leon Ponkin.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. And on Twitter, I think that might be it. But yeah, it's just a nickname.
As far as I'm aware, you didn't go to a British boarding school.
No. No, I did not. Did you?
No, I went to a grammar school. It's very different.
Very different.
No matter what Nick says, I am not one of the ruling elite. I am just a lower middle class aspirant wasp.
Do you want to do the next one?
Okay. Ugh. Yeah. The next one is from Cal again with another question.
It's the fucking same dude.
Yeah, not deterred by the fact that you haven't answered him in 7 months, because this is June 2015, and he's still got another 15 months to wait.
I'm so sorry, Cal.
I hope you're still listening.
I'm
man. So
sorry, dude.
This one is a question you can shed some light on. Be honest. Whose idea was it to do Who Back When? Ponkin or Flapjack?
Well, I am undeniably biased in my opinion here. I know that Jack and I, we differ on our opinion of this. And in fact, in the Blink Review episodes, maybe I cut this out.
Maybe.
I may have cut this one out.
Little editorial.
No, I can't remember. That might appear in the next blooper reel instead. As far as I recall, it was my idea to turn it into a podcast because I had already been doing a podcast at the time.
Ponkin and Friends.
That's the one. But I honestly don't remember. It may very well have been his idea to just marathon all of Doctor Who. I can't remember. He claims that it was his idea. I claim that it was my idea. We meet somewhere in the middle and just say it was our joint idea. I honestly cannot remember.
Okay, so he may deserve some measure of credit at the absolute genesis of the show.
Absolutely.
But you are the only one who's appeared in every single episode.
Yeah, but I mean, it's sheer circumstance that dictated that he didn't appear on all of the episodes. So, no, it's...
So he could have been the central pillar of the show had things turned out differently? Had the podcast turned left?
No, because Flapjack is a lazy bastard who would never sit down to edit 130 episodes or however many we've done. But... He's certainly one
that you know exactly how many episodes. Flapjack would just be like, more than 100 or so.
I featured on the 100th. No, wait, he didn't. No,
sorry,
I don't know.
Sorry, Ponkin, I was busy boning my buxom Brazilian girlfriend.
I so hope he's listening to this. And also very true. I'm sure. Anyway, I guess it was a joint idea in answer to your question, Cal. And also, in case I didn't say that the first time, thanks for listening.
Yeah. And Flappy, sorry that I made you sound like Will Self, but admit it, you do a little bit.
Oh, I can't do it. I was going to try. It didn't work out.
Okay. You read the next one.
Okay. Oh, God damn it. So I'm really sorry about this, but in this chronological order, unfortunately, there is one more that is also Ponkin-centric.
I have already described you as the central pillar, dude. Live up to your title.
This one, I think, is kind of interesting because it's the only one that I could find that featured like an actual correspondence, as in I replied to this dude and he then replied to me again with the next message.
Oh, cool. Oh, hang on. Maybe I should be Park and you can be Ponkin. Oh,
okay, well, that sounds great. Okay, so this is in August last year, 2015. Go for it, Tom. Tom Park, everyone.
I'm assuming the character of Tom. This is how I imagine Tom sound.
Do it.
Ponkin, I'm writing to you because on the website it says that you produced the show. So get your act together, dude. It's been weeks since your last episode. What does produce even mean? Just press record, save, and upload. Don't leave me hanging here.
What is, it's interesting. So in my mind, Tom Park is an American dude.
Yeah?
And in your mind, he's a 78-year-old English gentleman.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm picturing an American guy with a surfboard under his arm.
Were you the guy who went to the lawyer in town who was like, come in for a fiver and I'm surrounded by papers?
No, that was Nick.
Oh, that was Nick. Yeah. Damn it. Well, yeah, I just imagine, I don't know, the Bodleian closed 5 minutes before the pub opened and he was turfed out and he's some Oxford academic.
And he's like, oh, God, well, what shall I invest these 5 minutes in? Oh, yes, that's right. I shall...
Yes, I've been meaning to castigate Ponker online.
This seems like...
Your chastisement is long overdue.
This seems like the optimal opportunity to do so. Yeah, so I actually replied to Tom.
That same day...
That same day. So make a note of the time at which Tom wrote this, by the way.
1:20 a.m.
Tom does not sleep.
Well, yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? That could mean that he's American because then it's just early evening for him.
Oh, I actually don't know if that time reflects his time or if it's like the time that it was received at our end. I have no idea. Oh, shit. I don't know. Well, okay. Anyway, so I replied to Tom anyway on the same day. Cool your boots, man. Wait.
This is a great Ponkin impression, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Cool your boots, man, is a quote from which film, Drew? Duh.
Oh, no. I'm on the spot.
Cool your boots, man?
I'm not policing it, sorry.
Okay, wait. I'm going to give you another. This is practically the OMQDG. okay, the obscure movie quote.
This is why I stayed as far away from Ponkin and Friends as I possibly could in podcast land.
Okay, wait. Hang on. Perfumed pumps. That's not very obscure.
Is it Bill and Ted?
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Okay, don't threaten me with a dead fish.
No, it's not sticking. Mate, I moved this week. I can barely read as it is.
Okay, it's from Whitten and I.
Have I not told you that I haven't finished that film ever?
Oh, you've not finished it? Oh, no. Jesus. Oh, we are having an evening one of these days, dude. One of these evenings, in fact. We're gonna watch Whitten and I.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so I go, cool your boots, man. There's an ep coming in a few days. Also, there's a little more to it than just pressing record. Thanks for listening, Ponkin.
You know, actually, you sell yourself extremely short when you say there is just a little more to it. Because let's break down the production process.
I'd like to think that I was being massively passive-aggressive at the time as well.
Oh, possibly.
Well, I don't know, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell.
Sorry, Tom. Online. Also, Tom, you sound like a little bit of a dick.
Oh, hang on. We'll wait till we see his reply.
Oh, you're right.
Maybe
yeah, sorry.
You put him in his place and he's contrite. But,
maybe.
But
yeah, sorry. Sorry, Tom.
Let's break down for podcast land what goes in once we've finished recording, say, an hour 40 long raw record.
Well, okay. All right. I'll bullet point in that case. We record an hour and 40. I clean up the audio. I truncate the silences, which is an automatic process. I can't take credit for that. And then I edit down the resulting, let's say, hour and 30 to approximately 1 hour. Yeah. And I listen to that once while editing it a second time, and then once when it's completely done, and then I drop it. And
But after that, you have to do all the web copy.
Why are you giving me so much credit here, dude?
Dude, I want to explain. I don't want you to keep getting hate mail from, you know, impatient academics.
Well, you know, haters gonna hate, man. Yeah, okay. So web copy comes in and get screenshots and format those and pop them online and then...
And don't forget you add sound bites.
Add sound bites. Get the sound bites from the actual episode, splice them in, have a listen to all of that one more time. God damn it. Write the copy, get the images, pop it on SoundCloud, pop it on Facebook, on Twitter, on the website itself. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and so that can take between, what, like 6 and 8 hours?
Yeah, it's normally somewhere there in between.
Yeah, so you essentially put a whole working day's work of post-production into every single episode.
Yeah, normally on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a miracle I still have a girlfriend.
And I lead him on. I do one edit every couple of months.
That's not entirely true. You've done a number of edits. I mean, I don't know how many episodes. I said 130 before. I don't know if that's entirely correct.
Yeah, I've edited about 7 or 8 in, you know, 15 months. So,
yeah,
every couple of months.
That's definitely helped. Tons. It's helped tons. And those edits have been fantastic.
Yeah, Miriam like, really very good. Much enjoys those weeks.
Yeah, yeah she does. Anyway, yeah, Tom got back to me.
On August the 26th. 12:16 a.m. saying, sorry, mate. Is it a classic? Tell me it's a classic. Brackets. And at this point, we diverge from the email into Captain Subtext's bonus email. Not a fucking you, for fuck's sake. If you drop three of them in a row, I'm not listening ever again. Is what I would like to think, he then thought.
You think so?
At which point, he just dropped several classes, veered into my accent. So did you get back to him then, or...
I don't think so. I think I probably didn't get back to him. I should say, actually, a massive apology. I've mentioned this on the podcast a number of times already. So the form on the website didn't really work. And on top of that, the form led to an inbox, which was controlled by our web host. Not going to say who that was, but I mean, yeah, it was GoDaddy.
Isn't it still GoDaddy?
It's still GoDaddy, except we don't use that mail anymore because it's shit. And this is also the reason why the website's gone down every now and then. But we will be changing actual podcast host quite soon, I think, looking into it at the moment. Anyway, so I didn't actually get access to these. We'll get into a few other emails later on that I did get access to and that I absolutely did reply to because they're whobackwhen@gmail.com. Feel free to email that. That's what we even say on the website. Like, if you have a mini, send it to whobackwhen@gmail.com. That drops into my phone. Like, I can absolutely definitely access that. But the stuff that went into this inbox, it required so much work to access. Like, I would only be able to check out that inbox if I happened to be on GoDaddy looking at domain names or something, which I did maybe once every 2 months. So this was not an efficient way of having communications with our fan base. And as a consequence, most of these people were left unreplied to. And yeah. I apologize from the bottom of my heart to all of you. Cal, everyone else.
And similarly, anyone who's ever submitted a mini review, when at the end of every episode, we say we will definitely read out every mini review. It's very possible that countless unknown mini reviews have just been lost into the ether.
Yeah, definitely. And even saying that, on top of all of that, the form really was malfunctioning. Like, it would occasionally not send stuff along. Like, I would put in text, like, test text in there, like, send myself a mini review and never receive it myself. So, anyway, stick with whobackwhen@gmail.com, people, please.
Yeah, we were not snubbing you, podcast land. We weren't...
snubbing you.
No, I mean, we weren't ignoring you.
No, not at all. Absolutely
we weren't
not.
Leading you on to participate... You know, to look like we wanted contributions and then just hogging all the screen time to ourselves. Oh, and that's all we got time for. We actually don't give a shit about podcast land.
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. We love hearing from you. I mean, it is fantastic. And even the slightly less positive messages, it's
we'll
really,
get to those.
Yeah, we will get to those. And we've already... I'm sorry. I'm not douchey. Even those are kind of nice to... I mean, they're better than nothing, in a way, because it's evidence that we're not just screaming into the, you know, the emptiness, the empty void of podcast land. There is an actual population of podcast land listening to us and talking back. And it's great.
Yeah,
you know, it's fantastic.
It's like if a god reached down from heaven, even just to say, you know, you're a bit of a douche.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, God's noticing me. Oh, that's really nice.
Exactly. Yes.
Rather
that's exactly
than
what it is.
Just silence, radio silence.
Yes, exactly. So I guess thank you. Shall we move on to the next one? The next one actually has a story behind it.
Well, you'll have to tell that one because I'm completely clueless.
So the next one, I didn't realize until... Maybe I should also say thank you, GoDaddy, because you actually sent me all of these along the other day. But the next one is something that we should have addressed when we reviewed Blink, which we did quite recently, and we just didn't, because I'd completely forgotten about this.
Well, also, and you had a lot going on. You had every podcast host ever.
Yes,
to track down Flappy.
Yeah, which is easier said than done. But so back when we did the 100th episode, we received tons and tons of videos and messages from some of our, let's call them super fans. And one of them... was Kyle Rath. Kyle Rath is an awesome chap, and you will recognize him and remember him from the 100th episode. But on top of the great messages, or the great video that he sent in for that 100th, and he was included in the episode, on top of that, he also sent in footage for a little sketch, a little Blink-based sketch.
Yeah?
Yes. I will show you the footage after this if you like.
Oh, wow. Yes, please.
I'm so sorry, Kyle. I'd totally forgotten about this.
Can you post it at the same time as this episode?
I think it will require a little bit of work, but I will. I think this could be the official thing where I declare, definitely on my behalf, and I'm just going to declare this on your behalf as well, Drew.
Okay.
Yes, well, let's do this.
Well, so put it on YouTube at least.
Absolutely. So what he did was he put the, you know, the video where it's responded, like the doctor responds to, what's her face? Oh, what is her face again? Nightingale? Nightingale.
Nightingale?
No, Nightingale is the other one.
Oh, is this in Blink, Sally Sparrow?
Sparrow, that's the one, yeah. So, you know the video with the doctor, the bonus footage?
Yeah, on every DVD.
Exactly. So, Kyle put together his version of that video.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
wrote a little script for us and everything. And so this email, the next email in line, is just like the automatic Google announcements. By the way, Kyle has invited you to, you know, to share in this document, to edit the following document. And it just completely, I'm really sorry, Kyle. I just totally blanked on it. Definitely should have done that for Blink. But let's just do it now. Well, not now. Let's do it very soon.
Yeah,
we
absolutely
just need to get a camera. We've, like, the studio's all set up now, so we could shoot in here. So it'd be good.
Yeah? Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah,
this is going to be really good. So stay tuned for that. Oh, my goodness. Maybe this is going to be the year that we make use of our YouTube channel.
Yeah, this is the year we retrospectively fulfill all of our promises. We've got 3 months left. We can do this.
We can do this. Including audiobook, dude.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We're doing that for NaNoWriMo.
You know what? I just realized for the audiobook.
Yeah.
We always have two or three doctors. Why don't we have two or three masters as well? Why has Doctor Who never done that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Like a war between masters and doctors.
That's a super good idea. We already have the three doctor adventure. Let's add a couple of masters in there.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Okay. Hang on. Time out. I'm going to get the wine.
Absolutely. So, next.
Go for it.
Subject. Bring back Jack. They just give an email address. But yeah. I'll call them Magic Hat.
Well done. It took me a while, by the way. My first instinct was to go, Magi Chat?
It could be Magi Chat. In fact, I expect that's why they chose this cleverly ambiguous email address. Yeah. Although they were the... Well, I won't say which number to do so, but they weren't the first. Let's say that podcast left.
But that's true. Anyway, yeah, go for it.
Great show, guys. Finally, a Doctor Who podcast that reviews classic and new. Of the classics, I had only watched the Seventh Doctor before, and of course, the Paul McGann movie. But you inspired me to seek out the Hartnell one, so now I'm following along. Editorial comment, great.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want.
This is possibly, I think we can go so far as to say that this is the mission statement of Who Back When. Like, get more people involved in the Hooniverse.
Yeah, and responding to your unique premise, which was exactly to slog through every single classic, no matter how lost it was.
Magic Hat, well done. And welcome aboard.
Magic Hat continues, my only complaint. Bring back Jack!
There you go.
He was great, and I love the madness of Ponkin and he on the show together. Love you guys! X.
Got an X. Got an X from Magic Hat. That's pretty good. Yeah! Well, okay, so I don't know if I cut this from the last episode as well. Oh, sorry. First of all, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for writing. Apologies for not getting back to you for just over a year. that was September 13th, 2015. So, a year and 10 days, a year and 12 days even. Magic Hat, I am happy to tell you the following. I may have cut this out of the last, what was the last one that we did with Jack? Was that Blink? That was Blink.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I may have cut this out of it, but we did have a little chat about, like, oh, is he going to come back? Does he want to do some stuff? And he actually brought this up himself. He really wants to do this. So I don't want to get people's hopes up, but I definitely think that he's going to join in every now and then. He needs to get a mic, and that's it. Or get his ass to Oxford.
Yeah, and be where he says he's going to be at the time. but that's not all from Magic Hat.
Oh?
Magic Hat wrote back 4 days later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Yes, you're right.
And brought up a question that I think Rawmeister, of all people, will appreciate.
Oh, that's true.
Where can I find Ponkin and Friends? Who was on that show? And what was it about? Well, I think Ponkin, for starters.
Yeah, I was definitely on it. You weren't on it, were you?
Never.
You were never on it. I mean, Rawmeister wants this to be brought back. Like, brought back to life. I'm not entirely sure why. Ponkin and Friends was a great practice run for a podcast, but Like, it was of little interest to anyone except for the people who were actually on it, I think.
Well, who was on it, Ponkin? Give a broad overview of your cast list.
Okay, well, I think I did something like 40 episodes, 30 or 40 episodes.
So it was quite a long practice run, quite a thorough practice run.
It went on for, I think, 2 years or something, and it was very much inspired by the Rohrmeister, to be honest. I mean, I got into podcasts because of the Rohrmeister. He introduced me to just podcasts as an industry, as a thing.
Yeah, Rohrmeister chain listens to podcasts.
He does.
Constantly.
Constantly. The man really likes and knows his podcasts. And so consequently, after we'd all studied together and blah, 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 I moved to London and decided, screw this, I'm going to start my own podcast. This could be great. And that went really well. I mean, I had, I think, about as many listeners as I had guests on the show. So... But yeah, it was just like, sit down, talk for a little bit, mostly about movies, a lot about sci-fi, quite a lot about boobies. And we drink throughout the entire thing. I think the average duration of an episode was an hour and a half. It would be very long episodes. Yeah. And we'd be absolutely pissed by the end of them, at which point we would play the OMQDG, which was the obscure movie quote drinking game. Unfortunately, the podcast doesn't exist anymore. The RSS feed is down. I think I took down the website as well.
Yeah, you definitely did, because I was looking at it for a while, thinking, I might try and listen to this one day. I never quite got around to it because I hadn't been on it.
I have the MP3s, so if you asked really politely, I might send them to you, but most likely not.
That was... I mean, there was this weird period where Ponk and I... It wasn't that we had any animosity or antipathy between us.
Oh, you say that. I hated you.
We just weren't friends, as far as I was aware.
No, really weirdly, we didn't really hang out that much on... Because we studied together.
Yeah.
And weirdly, you and I weren't super close during the actual MA.
You know why that was?
No, why?
Because you were one of the cool people. You were one of the European smokers who used to hang around outside and be effortlessly cool.
Thank you.
And I was this pasty, mealy-faced wasp.
How can you call me effortlessly cool? We did a fucking Star Trek fan film. Like, everyone went out and did sports and shit, and we did a Star Trek fan film.
Well, I'm the sort of geek who finds that cool, and...
Why were you not part of that film, by the way?
Well, because I never... I'd tell you why it was, because you have a friend, Christian, Miramu's brother.
Yes, indeed.
And he was intimidatingly cool. Like, he once complimented a tie I was wearing, and I had arrived. Like, I still remember that. I still bring that up now. I'm like, do you remember that?
You just did.
Yeah. Do you remember that tie? Or that time when Christian complimented my tie? Holy shit. I felt like such a man that day.
I will say, Christian is incredibly cool. I mean, yeah.
And suave and sophisticated.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of podcast land, imagine the most attractive and gentlemanly and sophisticated Italian chap you could possibly imagine. Now multiply that by 10 and you add a beard and you have Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a puddle between your legs. Don't forget that, podcast land. That's essential to imagining him accurately.
I'm definitely asking him to listen to this episode.
Oh, don't. How will I ever talk to him again? It's hard enough as it is.
What, your man crush on Christian?
Apparently.
Yeah, clearly so.
But that was exactly it. And you guys hung out alone all summer. And also, I had my first serious girlfriend on that course. Now
yes,
my wife.
Now your wife.
Who has been in the audience of Who Back When precisely once.
I think I took a picture of her next to Mirimu at that point in the audience, and both of them are on their phones.
Yeah, exactly. And so I spent a lot of time with her. And it wasn't that I didn't want to get to know you, man, but it was just...
It's okay.
The thing is, I didn't get to know you at all. And so there was no basis from which to think, ooh, this podcast, this Ponkin man, he's so interesting. So what the point was, is that you moved to London and I was not prepared to make the trek and I had no idea that you were doing this podcast at all. And so when you moved back to Oxford, that's pretty much precisely when...
We started hanging out, properly hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will also say, like, I really wish that we had been hanging out super intensely during the MA course as well. But, like, not only was I certainly not deliberately avoiding you in any way, I had no idea what I was missing out on until I moved be back. Oh, wait, this episode is going to be the bonus love, like the ode to Drew.
I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. What's the next email?
Fair enough.
But, Rory, one last point about Ponkin and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Rory is constantly clamoring and lobbying to bring it back.
And I'm suggesting that he should do Rawmeister and Friends, because I don't have time to produce another podcast. Rory and I are already doing the Thunderbirds one, and he said that he will post-produce it at some point. Who knows when that's going to happen.
Stay tuned, podcast land.
Yeah, at some point, I'm sure that's going to happen. But, like, if he produces it from scratch, then why not just call it Rory and Friends or Rawmeister and Friends?
Yeah. I mean,
I will happily guest host it on some occasion.
If he's the podcasting expert, then he knows exactly what to do to make this work. So exactly. We should leave him to it.
Yeah. Let's get Rory to listen to this bonus episode as well. Should we move on to the next one?
Indeed.
Which thankfully is not about me. You or me?
You.
Okay. Here we go. This one comes from Haley, and it's sent on Halloween 2015. Very cool. Also, my grandmother's birthday. Anyway, tangent. She goes, "Hi, Who Back When gang. I love your podcast and have listened to every episode at least 3 times. Some episodes more than 10 times, like Web Planet and Keys of Marinus, to name a few." Whoa. "I also really like your modern episode reviews."
Yes!
"My favorite is probably Gridlock." Which you were on!
I was!
Yes, you
me,
were.
You, and JD!
Yes, exactly! That's a really good review, by the way. I love that one. We have some sort of... wait, hang on. Sorry. I'm really sorry, Haley. Getting back to you a year late, and I'm already cutting you off. in that episode, in the Gridlock episode, you and I start... We have some sort of weird rant where we compete against each other on... I can't remember what it is now.
Oh, yeah. It's the comeback, sort of...
Yes!
Counter.
That's what it is. I love that. I love that episode. Anyway, so Haley goes on. "Not a coincidence, because I'm a cat person." Oh, dear. Okay. Anyway... Sorry, I'm a dog person. "Anyways, I just wanted to suggest a topic for a bonus episode review. The 50th anniversary short stories. These are really good and provide a wide range of writing styles by many writers who became famous outside of Doctor Who. At least a couple of anthologies were published, so there are a lot of stories to choose from. I'll get back to re-listening to your Daleks Master Plan review now." God. Wow. I feel kind of sorry for you. Ciao, Haley. X.
I bet she didn't used to say cha-chow before you came along.
Well, I'd like to think that is a Who Back When influence. Also, Dalek's Master Plan, that's a 12-episode solo.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Haley, why are you re-listening to that? Listen to it once. Treat yourself once, and that's it. Have you read any Doctor Who short stories?
I haven't, but I'd be willing to.
I'd be willing to as well. I think I've seen one of the 50th anniversary anthologies, like the massive big TARDIS blue tome with a huge 50 on it.
Oh, they're big, are they?
And if I'm not mistaken, what's his name? Neil Gaiman has written a short story for that.
That makes sense.
I think so.
He seems the most natural fit.
He's written at least one episode that I can think of anyway. He's written one episode.
It wasn't the Doctor's wife, was it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if he's written anything else, but he's definitely written that. I'd be up for this. I mean... Maybe at some point, maybe this could go in parallel with the comic books. What do you think? We could go through them one short story at a time.
Yeah, and we do intend to do a second comic book episode at some
definitely.
Point, Podcast Land.
Yeah.
The main sticking point has been trying to nail down a format and also trying to wait for the end of the story arc that we reviewed the first episode of, or the second issue of, in our first review, because that's like on episode 12 by now. Yeah. it's just endless.
There's a lot of material to go through. Have you been reading them, by the way? I've been reading
the ones that we started.
I've not. Oh. I have a lot of Doctor Who comics to get through. But getting back to the short stories, yes, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yes,
let's
absolutely.
Do that. I mean, great idea. Thank you very much for sending that in, Haley. Let's add that to the list. We're doing it. Actually, let's say this as well. Someone has sent in, I don't think it's on this list, but someone definitely did say, possibly on Twitter, that we should do the novels. The Doctor Who actual novels.
Yeah. This is
like the Tennant novels.
This has come up before, and I proofread for a living.
Yeah.
And so I read all day, every day, and it's quite hard to read recreationally. Problem is that once you add up all the different dimensions of Doctor Who output, there is more than any one, even co-hosting team, let alone one mind, can possibly take in a lifetime.
Yeah.
That would take care of the problem mentioned in our next email.
Oh, what's the next one?
Subject, WTF.
Oh,
from JST. January the 29th, 2016, 1:15 a.m. He's obviously been waiting up all night for us to drop something.
Yeah, thank you.
Because he says...
Oh, yeah, you're right, 1:15 a.m.
Because he says, it's been 3 weeks since your last review. Come on, guys, it's not difficult. What the fuck is taking you so long?
Sent from my iPhone.
Well, we'll refer you back to Ponkin's previous explanation of exactly what he does in post-production.
Also... January 29th, 2016. I mean, I don't remember what happened on that exact day, but January 2016, that sounds to me like when I was in hospital for 2 weeks.
That's exactly when you were in hospital.
It was, wasn't it?
I did the Candlemas bloopers.
Bingo, yes, you're right.
That's why I introduced an episode, because Ponkin was on a ward.
Yeah, so that'll be why it took 3 weeks. JST, sorry, man.
Feeling okay now, though? Next time Ponkin's admitted, we'll call you in.
Thanks for listening, JST.
No, you want to know, man. I mean, don't
worry about it. JST has also sent in the next one, which is
months later, by the way.
Months later. 6 months later.
It's not like he was like...
No, five months later, sorry.
It's not like 5 minutes later. No, I suppose I better say something nice.
5 months later, he hasn't heard back from anyone. And
but at least
now,
we've been dropping something.
We've been dropping stuff, but now he's going to send in some... Probably not as positive remarks. JST, I must have really rubbed you the wrong way. Shall we do one at a time?
Absolutely. You introduce it. And
okay.
Then...
Here we go. Subject. Ponkin and his friends ranked.
Oh, great.
And he introduces it by saying, we're all thinking it, so I'm going to say it.
To be honest, I do think this a lot.
Oh, really?
I'm often thinking, where do I stand in the pantheon of Who Back When co-hosts in listeners' minds? I've appeared in a lot of episodes lately, so have I graduated to maybe third in the all-time list?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on, JST.
All right, so we're all thinking it, so I'm going to say it. Here is the definitive ranking of Ponkin and his co-hosts. Definitive?
How is it the only one we've had so far?
That's true. Yeah, like, I wonder what makes it so different. Anyway, all right. Shall we start from the bottom or from the top? I mean, he starts at the top.
Yeah, I think go from the top.
Okay.
And then... People will be biting their fingernails as we get down to the bottom.
Like, who's going to be the worst one? Wow. So, number one. Shall I do it?
Absolutely.
Great. So, number one, Flapjack.
Oh, the guy who thought of this whole thing, yeah.
Oh, that guy. Thank you, JST.
But why, JST?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't pretend to be surprised by this now, because I have, as I said, I've read all of these, including this one. And I did tell Miriam, by the way. Like, I was like, oh, someone ranked us. She's like, oh, were you number one? I was like, fuck no! Yeah, so he's given us all one pro and one con. Except, sorry, I get two cons. Spoiler alert.
Oh, great.
Thanks, JST. So, Flapjack, pro... Funny and clever as hell, and hearing him smoke during reviews is really charming. I think maybe Jack wrote this one. Con, no cons. There was literally nothing wrong with Flapjack. Why did you fire him?
Why did you fire him?
I didn't fire him. Jack was not fired. He was just indisposed. He was just not available at the time.
Yeah, and over 18 months has passed, and he still hasn't bought a microphone.
Yeah, so...
This is much his fault, at least.
Yeah, you work it out, JST. But
also,
yeah, anyway.
Did we mention the books and Brazilian girlfriend, yeah? Versus the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough.
And 12-episode arc, most of it lost. Versus Carnival. Yeah, so he's firing himself quite well, thank you.
Yeah, someone's firing him, certainly.
But not Ponkin.
Not me. No.
Speaking of Ponkin.
Number two.
Ponkin!
Yay!
Pro. Witty, vulgar, and very funny guy. Not to mention he created Who Back When.
Thank you. Thank you for finally clarifying that, by the way.
I think that's two pros.
I want to get you in touch with the other person from before who asked that question.
Oh, con one.
Great.
Seems to not enjoy the new Who reviews as much anymore.
Entirely untrue.
Yeah?
Entirely untrue. Well, yeah. I'm going to say that is untrue. I've had a blast. Maybe.
Oh, I bet he just listened to the Satan Pit.
This is from June 2016. I cannot really remember where we were at in June 2016.
Well,
June
so
this
far
year.
Behind,
that's
yeah.
true, actually, isn't it?
Midway through season three. In which case, could well imagine not enjoying the new Who reviews as much anymore.
Because either they're really bad.
Evolution of the Daleks, probably. Yeah. That was probably where we were.
Or they're almost too good. Human Nature, for example. Family of Blood.
Yeah, possibly.
Like, they're so good that... I mean, it depends on what he means by, like, not enjoy the New Who reviews. Like, am I not enjoying the material? Like, am I not... do I not think the New Who is good? Yeah. Maybe I'll agree with that, because there have been some really crap episodes this season. But am I not enjoying the reviewing thereof? Like, the worse the episode, the more fun the review, I think. I don't know, you probably agree with me on this one.
And also, don't forget, now you know he's doing this much post-production every episode, he would not do that if he weren't fully committed to this ridiculous
mission. Dude, stop
picking
me up, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really enjoying the new... Are you enjoying the new Who reviews?
Yeah, I am. It may be because we have three co-hosts on every new Who review. Maybe it's just that you don't get as much... airtime, and so...
But surely then all of us, like, neither of us gets as much airtime.
Well, yeah, but compare it to a solo in which it's you constantly riffing off yourself.
I am being a bit of a shit here because I know what Con 2 is, and... which is kind of wrong. But it also seems to... I think that kind of invalidates the whole... like, the theories that I've now presented that I think are way more valid for Con 1. So do you want to just say Con 2, and we'll figure it out.
Okay, Con 2. He fired Flapjack.
No, I didn't.
That's unforgivable.
Sure.
Unfire him.
Can't do that.
That'll fix Con 1.
That's what I mean. Like,
that was beautiful.
We did not splice that together. That was all one take.
Con 1 seems to imply, or Con 1 and Con 2 combined, seem to imply that... now that Jack is away, I'm not enjoying the New Who reviews as much. But Jack never did a New Who review. Sorry, he did one. He did a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Last Christmas, I think. The one with the actual Santa, whatever that's called. Last Christmas. Yeah, last Christmas. Capaldi. North Pole.
Oh, he was on that.
Face Huggers.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a bonus episode that Jack and I did. He came to Oxford just for, like, over Christmas. Yeah, but he's never done New Who besides that. So, like, Con 1, I feel, makes no sense.
Ah, dude, don't worry about it. Don't get defensive.
Sorry. Yeah, I I'm spending way too much time on this. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, JST, write in and explain your opinion. Yeah,
yeah, please do.
What motivates you to suggest Ponkin's not enjoying it as much anymore? Because we can fix that.
Yeah, do it. Except this time, send it to whobackwhen@gmail.com.
Yeah. And maybe we won't spend 3 years waiting for the next mailbag to fill up. Because after this, everyone will be writing in.
Well, let's hope so.
Right.
All right, so, number three. The Druids.
Yeah, it's you, man. It's you. Bronze medal.
And he's referred to you as the Druid, which is how you're referred to on the website.
Splendid.
But not so much on the podcast. And I think we should probably talk about that as well. Like, how do you prefer to be referred to as
anything except Droobaloobs is acceptable. I'll be honest.
Do you like Droobs?
Not really. That's my second least favorite. Basically, I didn't like Drood until you came up with a whole string of words. Nicknames. And then I thought, everything's relative.
Do you like the Druid?
The Druid is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pun, it's a word. My mum used to call me Druid. So.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, number three, the Druid. Pro, he's the Flapjack of New Who.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Love him.
Way.
Con. Why isn't he in every episode?
Oh, wow.
And JST is so adamant that you should be in every episode that question does not conclude with a question mark. It concludes with an exclamation mark.
Okay, I understand some part of why you keep badgering me to be in the classics. I mean,
yeah.
Why aren't I in every episode?
Why aren't you?
It's because I'm in every New Who episode, and also I do edit some episodes,
yeah,
as I say. Although, even then, I only 50-50 split the actual post-prod work with you. But still, basically, I'm a freelancer, and so my schedule is a bit erratic. And Ponkin is the sort of... he doesn't force you into anything, but he's so charming and persuasive that were I to hitch my wagon to the...
Have you had a haircut, Drew? Have you lost weight?
Have you been working out? No, no, and no. It's just too much. I like the fact that I can appear on every new Who.
Okay.
And make that continuous. And I
think you would be great on Classic. I mean, I don't want you to, like, I don't want to force you to make a commitment to Classic, but I really think that maybe you should give it a go at some point. Because some of them are just fantastic.
Oh, sure they are. And I'm sure that I will appear on a Classic at some point.
Yeah.
But what I like about appearing on every new Who episode, and I hope people aren't bored of me yet, and, well, we haven't read every last email
clearly,
yet.
Clearly not.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, this was just June. But I think I've come a long way in my ability to cross-reference back to other new Who episodes. So I have quite a complete knowledge. Why I'm so scared of appearing on Classics is I will go in completely ignorant of everything except the sequence of Doctors and the years of their appearance.
I think that's completely fine, because you still know Doctor Who. I mean, you say this as though you have to be an expert in Classic Who to review Classic Who. I'm certainly not an expert. I know the Classic Who up until the point that we're reviewing, but I basically don't know anything beyond that.
Yeah, but
I remember some of the Tom Baker episodes from when I was a kid, and that's it. And not just that, there's a lot of value to be added by having someone who knows New Who inside out, and for that reason has this sort of virginal approach to Classic. Like, oh my god, comparing this to what you, I guess, grew up with to a certain degree, you know, post-2005.
Have you met Nick Ulaley? Because he fulfills exactly that role. And JD is the Swami, the ombudsman, the ultimate guru of Who. And if I just go in, it's going to be JD going, yeah, and I've got this trivia, and you going, oh, that's very nice, yeah, this is good. And I'm
but Nick only wants to be on a few of them. JD can only be on a few of them, and I want to be on all of them. I'm going to say it again, I've said it a million times. We should just rotate a little bit. We should just have here's another voice on Classic. Here's another voice on Classic. Oh, wait, here's yet another voice on Classic. We should, I definitely think that you should give it a go. Well, and very soon we're going to be in Pertwee land, and Pertwee is like watching, you know, The Saint. Or James Bond or something. It's great.
Or The Persuaders. Yeah. JSC, this conversation has been going on since before you wrote this email.
Yeah,
it's very
definitely
prescient of you to say this. So doubtless I will appear on Classic at some point. And thank you for your lovely prose.
Yes.
And your basically pro-like con. I'm very pleased.
So well done.
So number four. JD.
Oh, yeah.
Pro. He knows Doctor Who like the back of his hand. Con. Wish he'd feature in more reviews. Again.
Another pro con.
Yeah, not a pro. We're down to number four out of six.
Yeah.
And it's still all good.
Yeah, it is. I think I probably couldn't agree more with the pro. JD absolutely, I mean, JD is a pro when it comes to Doctor Who. He knows all of it. It's absurd that there have been, okay, so here's a weird thing. So I can't remember when this was. This was probably for the Blink review. On some occasion, JD and I sat down to record, I think probably an audio review, whatever came after Blink. And so we're sitting down, we're just about to record something entirely different. Like it's the Eighth Doctor, it's an audiobook, whatever. And I just go, oh, wait, hang on, JD, hang on. Can I splice you into the Blink review, which is dropping like in a couple of days? Just like give me 3 minutes about Blink. And he goes, yeah, okay. And off the top of his dome just gives me this mini review that is jam-packed with detail and references. The guy knows everything about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And we watched the reviews twice on the same day, and we can remember less of the episodes
exactly
we review it than JD can. He could just narrate the dialogue from 1963 to present day.
And tell us in exactly which minutes, which frame of which minutes of which episode of which serial it have happened in.
Yeah, and who wrote every single one.
And give us the name of the weird, like,
the weird family member who was part of the crew on a different episode 25 years later.
Who was the best
later
boy grip on that episode, JD? Was Billy Thomas. JD sounds nothing like that, but yeah.
extra, it was Billy Thomas.
It was Billy Thomas. Billy Thomas was there. Best big rip. JD, that's what you sound like, apparently. Number five is Nick. By the way, Nick does not spell his name with a CK. It's N-I-K, which is short for N-I-K-U-L.
Nickel.
Nickel. But yeah, number five is Nick. Pro. Witty and clever guy. Con. I'm sorry, I have read this before. Wants to appear more clever than he is.
You've read it before and still it tickles you.
It does kind of tickle me because should I cut this? I can kind of see where he's coming from.
What can you? Because We are all surely trying to appear or sound as clever
everyone
as we possibly
is.
Can all
yes,
the time.
Yes, definitely. I know that I am, and I'm sure that I'm failing at it.
And the only reason I sound half coherent is because of the auto-truncation software Leon's already mentioned. I'm constantly breaking down in the middle of sentences and going, oh shit, hang on, I completely forgot what I was beginning to say 5 seconds ago. Cut that, cut that. Hence the voluminous bloops.
I will say, I think this is an unwarranted con. Why shouldn't Nick be featured in more reviews, for example? I mean, he's doing some classics already. He's doing some new already. I don't want to say that he should do some audio, but maybe he should do some more classics.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Nick is number 5.
And that leaves...
Number 6.
Rawmeister Pro. Fun guy. Seems so nice. Can absolutely confirm that that's the case.
Rory has a huge heart, and he's a super swell, nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, he... Is it too revealing to say he pretty much hates Doctor Who?
Yeah. No. I think he's even confessed as much on the podcast.
Yeah. But he's that nice that he appears on our podcast. Our Doctor Who podcast anyway.
I asked him, hey, do you want to co-host a Doctor Who podcast? He goes, I don't really... I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah. He ventured to London, I think, twice to co-host it.
Although perhaps every time he does, he thinks this is a little more credit in my Bring Back Ponkin and Friends account.
Maybe.
A little more leverage that I can hold over him. Con, too quiet.
Yeah.
It's almost another pro con again, in which he's saying,
I want to hear more
so
of him.
Great. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think so as well. Yeah, in a way, I think it's almost unfair to put... I mean, okay, it's sort of unfair to put anyone in last place. I wouldn't want to rank the co-host team in general, but I think it's kind of unfair in a way on Rory in particular, because he's been on so few episodes compared to the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, how many did he do? He did like 5, I think, or maybe 6. So it's kind of unfair, like almost saying he's too quiet. It kind of reflects the fact that he hasn't been around for 130 episodes. You know, he should be louder in that sense.
Yeah, if you want to hear him being loud and knowledgeable and taking command of a podcast,
listen
to the upcoming Thunderbirds podcast.
Yeah, the tentatively titled Thunderbirds Are Going to Be Reviewed.
Rory's choice.
Thank you for clarifying that.
But yeah, he's going to be front and center in that.
He is
the JD of Thunderbirds.
He absolutely is. And I will say we've recorded 3 episodes so far. Only 3 episodes, but we're halfway to him actually editing and dropping, you know, the first few episodes. It's hilarious. I'm not a fan of Thunderbirds myself. I'm co-hosting a Thunderbirds podcast. I'm not a fan of it at all.
So you're the Rawmeister.
I'm the Rawmeister.
Thunderbirds Are Going to Be Reviewed.
Exactly. And he's the, you know, he's not the Ponkin, but he's certainly the JD of his podcast. It's a hilarious podcast. Rory is so fun. Like, I mean, when he's talking about a topic that he's passionate about, and Thunderbirds certainly qualifies as such a topic, he's, holy smokes, he's just like a lightning bolt. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, definitely worth it. So at some point, maybe as a bonus episode, I may just sneak in a little trailer for the podcast at some point.
Yeah. Mm. And that's the end of JST's list.
Yeah. Thank you, JST, for not even saying thanks and goodbye. So JST, I don't know if he's sent in something later on. I don't think so. But so far, he's sent in 2 things. One ends on, what the fuck is taking you so long? And the second one ends on nothing.
Yeah. Ends on a criticism of Rory.
Thanks.
Whatever. No, this is great material. We are grateful for any review that basically doesn't say, fuck. We haven't received any reviews that are just flat out what you would associate with the general standard of the internet.
That's true, yeah. I mean, there are other messages that we got ages and ages ago, but we've already talked about them on the podcast, and they were, I mean, okay, you know what? I don't think we've ever received a truly hateful, like a really super mean-spirited, except for one coming up.
Even though Nick has called for one on multiple occasions.
He has.
Because he would love to deal with that. Nick is a very combative, confrontational
character.
Wait,
hang on. When did that come in? September 9th. Maybe this is a response to that. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Well,
in which case,
thank you.
God damn it, Nick. Why did you have to do that?
Oh.
But, I mean, over the course of over 3 years, people have not sent in super mean things. And the ones that we have mentioned before, and we brought them up on the 100th episode, I remember this from that episode, are the ones where people go, like, why do you have to be such Doctor Who haters? And it's not even like, it's not so much saying they hate us. It's like they really love the show, but they don't really get our point of view. And that's sort of the worst that we've received. Yeah. And that's fine. That's great.
Rather than, you know, fuck you, you should die, go to hell,
yeah,
get raped, that sort of business. So, yeah, we have a very friendly, pleasant podcast community.
Yeah, and there are lots of other positive, like, pro emails, quote-unquote, that we've received, that we've read out, that certainly I've read out on Solos. The one that we mentioned before, the Daleks Master Plan, the massive 12-episode arc, for no reason whatsoever, I elongated what is already a massive solo episode, and thus, you know, quite a slog to get through as a podcast listener, by reading out, I think, almost a full fan mail, which was just, I love you guys, I listen to you on my commute. So, I mean, we get lots of those, and it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are great, essentially. You're all pros.
You are all pros.
None of you are cons. So who reads the next one?
Up to you. Shall I go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
The next one comes from Anne McGee. She goes, Dear Whovians, thank you for the best show on the internet. I found Who Mac When 2 months ago and have now caught up with the show.
That is incredibly impressive.
Let's put this into context. This was sent in August of this year. So 3 years and 1 month. August 2nd, almost 3 years and 1 month, yeah, into the podcast. In 2 months, Anne has gone through all of it.
Rough mental arithmetic.
That's about 120 episodes.
Yeah, in 60 days. That's 2 episodes a day, every single day.
I think possibly Anne is doing what I'm currently doing with the Red Letter Media reviews. Just having them in one ear as she works. A fantastic Anne. Anne goes on, I have the classics on repeat on my iPod. The best ones by far are the Dalek reviews. Thanks to you, I'm also really getting into the audiobooks. Ooh, nice one. Keep up the good work, says Anne.
Yeah.
Anne.
Great. Well, I mean, you have questioned on a couple of occasions how useful the audiobook,
yeah,
enterprise is.
Anne is not the only one to say this. I think that's really nice.
Well, that's great, because you yourself are of the opinion that we are essentially an audio format reviewing another audio format.
Exactly.
How can that,
yeah,
possibly be useful? But here you are, introducing a fan and broadening their Doctor Who horizons.
150% of that credit goes to JD. Because the fact that we're reviewing the audiobooks in the first place, that is entirely JD's doing. And, I mean, that's how he got on the show. On top of that, the audiobook reviews are maybe, let's say, 70% about the audiobooks, and then 30% just JD spouting various expert opinions and references.
And trivia.
Yeah.
And knowledge.
I think that's really what makes the audiobook reviews. It's all JD. So, Anne, I'm so pleased that you're getting into even more Doctor Who. I can totally relate to what you're saying. I'm, thanks to JD, also now inclined to delve into some of the other audiobooks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending that in. That is awesome. That brings a smile to my face.
Oh, right. Well, this next one is, wow, this is super long.
This is the hateful one.
Subject, Who Back When, from Mickey James, September the 9th, 2016.
Which is, so, like, when is this?
Two weeks ago.
Two and a half weeks ago, yeah. So this is the one, wait, let's just set the scene. This is okay. The one where...
I haven't read this, so...
Shortly,
set the scene for me.
Yeah, shortly after Miriam and I had moved into this place, into the new Punk Plaza.
The new studio.
Yeah, the new studio with adjacent abode. Yeah,
studio with living quarters annex.
Yeah. You came around and we were outside. I was having a cigarette. I'm now on the electronic. But we were outside. I was having a cigarette and I told you, oh, dude, we got some hate mail. Do you remember
yeah,
this?
Yeah,
and
I
was like, oh, this is what it's about. This is what happens. And this is what someone says. And this is crazy.
And I was like, tell me more. Tell me more.
Did he call me a douche? And this is it. This is the email.
Sweet.
It's split up into co-hosts. I will say, this is written on the 9th. Maybe we should say a thing or two, like a word or two about Marie. I mean, Marie has only appeared on one episode so far, the Blink review. She will appear on more.
Yeah.
And she's not included in these emails, but yeah, like, she will appear on more. And yeah. There's a bonus episode, introductory, like, this is Marie coming up as well.
Yeah. The thing about Marie is she's an absolutely massive Doctor Who fan.
Crazy huge fan.
But she is also all over the place. And I don't mean that mentally, but I mean that she is constantly doing things.
Yeah, she's one of the busiest people we know.
Yeah, if she's
Like, she's working, getting another degree, getting, like...
Yeah, she's a freelancer who would have time. She's made a success of herself, would have time to do this, but she will go and live in Sweden for a month, or she'll be going on a pub crawl every weekend.
She's fantastic in that sense.
Yeah.
And she's an expert when it comes to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Plus, she's just super charming.
Yeah, so... Podcast land, I think what Ponkin is trying to say is you will definitely have to add Marie to all your future lists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Figure out a place for her in the grand ranking.
Exactly.
Because she is here to stay.
Goddamn right she is.
Until she moves away.
Shall we start with this one? So Mickey James goes, he starts with, I hate this one.
Do you want me to take this first
paragraph? I really hate this one. Yeah, do it, do it. Oh, I hate, I'm sorry, Mickey, I hate this one.
Ponkin. You big fat liar.
Thank you.
I could turn your lies into a drinking game. Hmm. Every time you say, that's my next note, or that's in my notes, I just feel like you're lying to all of, quote, podcast land, end quotes, and you don't give a damn. We download your podcast because we like your voice and your sense of humor. At least treat us with some respect. End of paragraph. End of burn.
I take this so personally, and maybe we really shouldn't. So he does
single you out for a whole paragraph.
He singles all of us out. Okay, so spoiler alert, we all get a paragraph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that's why you should take it personally.
Yeah, I do take it personally.
Go on then. Let's get your rebuttal.
So the thing is, after this email came in, and I normally don't try to make a big deal out of this, but after this email came in, and Mickey, I hope you're listening, Mickey James, this email came in, I told Drew about it. I then shortly thereafter told Nick about it. Nick and his partner Emma, we were in the bar just around the corner, we're sitting down, we're having a beer, and I go, this dude called me, like, he says that I'm lying to podcast land. And this is why he says I'm lying. That's bullshit. Like, that's total bullshit. And they both started laughing, Nick in particular, because he went like, you say that. But the thing is, I have my notes in my phone. And I feel so petty saying this, but...
Methinks the lady doth protest too much. No, I can vouch that...
No, I do
Leon
feel petty saying this, though. But my point is... I have not deliberately been trying to lie to podcast land about what I've thought about in a review or whatever.
Yeah, the closest Leon ever gets to a lie is we'll be dropping this podcast totally next weekend, but then an unforeseen circumstance will mean he has to delay it by a week or two.
Yeah, there you go.
And the nature of our notes is Nick rarely takes notes. Every now and again he does. Leon takes...
some notes. Yeah. I mean, I bullet point it.
Yeah, Leon's... intention for each podcast is to have 6 major talking points.
Yeah.
And so you'll have about that many notes.
Sort of, yeah.
I will...
No, I normally have a lot more than that, actually. But okay. but there are 6 that stand out, anyway. Like, plot points.
6 things that we absolutely must talk about.
Yeah.
And then maybe some other things.
I guess so, yeah.
I have absolutely zero short-term memory, so I will almost write out the episode. I will make encyclopedic.
Which is why I'm really looking forward to getting to your point.
Yeah, I will have too many notes to read out in any episode, which is why sometimes we get to the end and there are appendices and I go back and I say, oh, but we missed this bit because I've just found it again in my notes because I'm looking at it on my tiny phone screen and I'm scrolling up and down frantically because I know we missed something, but in the reams of information, I just can't find it. And sometimes when I go silent in an episode, that's because I'm spending 5 minutes going, I know there's something relevant on here somewhere. So, and we make all these notes entirely independently of one another.
Yeah,
so,
we do. I mean, we meet up. We normally have, I think as a rule, it's fair to say, we normally, we watch these separately and we take notes separately and we show up, we just have a drink and I normally have a smoke or whatever and we chill for a few minutes and then we just sit down and record. We don't even really talk about it before we record. We normally just go, no, save it. So there is no influence whatsoever.
Yeah. And so it's entirely possible that when I'm interrupting, as I'm doing right now, I will steal the great point Leon was about to make.
Dude, that's in my notes!
You were just about to say that! Fucking hell, this is meta. But even that was organic. Wow.
Yeah.
Should we get on to the next
paragraph?
Yeah,
let's do it. I'm sorry I took that so personally.
You lick your wounds, I will read out what he has to say about Flappy.
Go for it.
Flappy, do you have to smoke cigarettes, or whatever it is, all the time? And we just had someone saying it was charming. But another person's charming.
Yes, good points. Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I'm personally against smoking, so I probably find it annoying.
Diggles, tibbles.
Yeah, exactly. Be professional, please. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and no one smokes on the air. It's pretty basic.
I like that noise. Like, it's pretty basic, buddy. Like, that's not how you do a podcast.
That's why you fired him, isn't it?
I didn't fire him. I swear to God, I didn't fire him. The thing is, in the beginning, and there was one person. I wonder if he still listens to the show, because he didn't seem to like it that much, even though he did actually then go on to give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And everyone who hasn't should. there was a chap named Mojo, calling himself Mojo anyway, who at one point wrote in, this is back in the day when it was just Flappy and me, so this is back when I was still living in London, and he wrote in a message saying that, assuming that we were getting high, like we were getting stoned.
Right.
And that's not the case. I mean, I don't do drugs. Jack doesn't do drugs.
As far as we know.
As far as we're aware. Certainly not on the air, but we were both sitting there and smoking, and the production value of those early episodes, actually it's mind-boggling to me that people still refer to them, the Web Planets, and like Keys of Marinus was another one that was referred to here, because they're recorded back in the day when we were constantly smoking cigarettes. And recording off the internal mic of the computer. Like, it was, the production values were so low.
Ah, but you didn't have a creaky table then either.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Nor do we now.
Yeah, from now on, it should be plain sailing.
Love the studio.
Smooth audio.
Goddamn right. But yeah, so at that point, the only feedback we'd had was negative in terms of the smoking. Now tonight, as you pointed out, we've had a mixed bag. One person thinks it's charming. Possibly that review was written by Jack. And now someone thinks that, I mean, I'm assuming when it says, do you have to smoke cigarettes in brackets or whatever it is? I'm assuming that means this is another person who thinks that he's smoking pot.
Well, no, he says cigarettes. So.
Cigarettes in brackets or whatever it is.
Oh, right. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Or maybe I'm misreading that.
I mean, does Flappy tend to tail off towards the end of podcasts and just like sort of
yeah,
going,
but that's just who
it.
He is. maybe I'm misreading that, in which case I apologize. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, I think he should be ashamed of himself. Flappy is pretty basic. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
so can I read out the next one and then you read out the one after it?
Okay, sure.
JD.
Yeah.
You actually have so many catchphrases. Actually. You just start the actually podcast actually. Could you actually say it anymore? Could you be any more actually? He didn't say that last sentence.
No. So I think I know what this refers to.
Yeah?
I mean, JD does say actually a lot.
Okay.
That's okay.
Is it just a verbal particle between nuggets of gleaming knowledge?
Yes. Oh, certainly. Most definitely.
It's where his brain is catching a breath as he rifles through his mental encyclopedia.
Yes. That massive library of Whovian knowledge.
That huge TARDIS mind palace.
I will add to that. We all, I know that I certainly have, but I think it's fair to say that we all have verbal tics. Not just JD. I have things that I say a lot.
You've said twice in the last 5 seconds.
There you go. And there you go. That was the third
Stop
one.
It, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen of Podcast Land, you probably won't have heard any of those because I'll probably all have cut them out.
You have to leave those in.
I will have to.
Just leave. As a taste.
Oh, just those three.
Of the true Leon.
Damn it. If we ever do a live recording, oh my goodness.
Well, I mean, we did the 100th, so surely.
Oh, that's true.
Full of verbal tics. I can't imagine how anyone enjoys it.
It must be, yeah. I can't really remember how I edited that one. But yeah, anyway, so we all do have verbal tics. And yeah,
it's probably the case that you remove JD's less often because it's actually a coherent word.
Oh, is it actually a coherent word?
Did I say actually?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, actually is actually a coherent word. You know what I mean. Rather than which has absolutely zero value, so you
and
chop
which
it.
I absolutely do chop, yes.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Actually would make this, removing actually would make the sentence sound disjointed, and so you probably leave it in.
That's very, very possible.
So it's that we all have verbal tics, but JD is just represented disproportionately.
Exactly. There we go. Bingo bongo. Couldn't have said it better myself.
I mean, me and Nick say you know a lot.
I can't remember what mine is. I mean, aside from the which clearly is, that's the predominant verbal tic that I have, the
Yeah, well,
But I know that I'm just as equal, I mean, I'm equally as annoying a culprit in this scenario.
Well, what you've done is you've elevated all your other catchphrases to an art form. Bingo bongo, ka-chow, you know, they shape the
episode. But they're not something that I just say in between words, because, I don't know, my brain is taking a break, or I can't think of something better to say.
Anyway. Well, you've done this more than us. You've had the most practice of anyone.
So you say you know. Is that what you're saying? Is that,
that's
is
one
that,
of my things. And also thing. Stopping between words while my brain tries
I think
to catch
possibly
up
that's
where
it.
The hell I am.
I think maybe that's your thing. Like your verbal tick is impressively non-verbal. Like your verbal tick is the lack of verbs.
Yeah, or other words yeah. of any kind.
Okay, okay. So next up on in line is Drew.
Is it now?
It is indeed. Mickey says, Drew, come on. Put a little effort into your review. You just prattle on trying to think of something clever to say. I mean, you normally say it. All I'm saying is a little preparation goes a long way.
Now, you're laughing as you read that entirely.
Because it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, we've already alluded to this on this podcast.
Yeah.
You are the most prepared of all of us.
My problem is over-preparation.
Yeah,
if anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I am riffling through the notes up and down. And I take this as a valid criticism. And I've been trying to cut down on those notes for some time. I've been trying to make them more meat and less fat. So
yeah.
I will try and work towards that. When I prattle at the end, I have my reviews completely written out beforehand, but what I try and do is I try and take out the bits that someone has already said exactly. So I will get halfway through, and then I'll be like, oh, I have to skip that sentence, and that takes me a couple of seconds, and then I have to sort of join the dots to get to the end of the review. And the one thing that I do always end up making up on the spot, even though I've already written down my rating, is because after talking it over with these guys for an hour, usually it ends up being about 0.7 lower than the rating I put into my phone. So a 3.1, I will have to reappraise that suddenly and be like, actually, the episode's only a 2.3 because a dozen more plot holes have suddenly appeared that I didn't spot before.
This is super interesting. I'm now thinking, so everyone else, we make up the review on the spot and we think of a rating on the spot. And normally, if I'm not the first one to go, which I think is probably most often the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Then I write my review at that point and go, I'm just going to write this down so no one thinks that I'm copying them. Like, this is my review. I write it down on my phone. At that point, like up until that point, I've not thought of what my rating is. You will have thought of your rating for that serial or that episode, sorry, for days.
Yeah.
I mean, minimum one day, I guess.
Yeah. And typically I tend to enjoy it on a much more superficial level.
But you then also change your mind towards the end of it, like yeah. when it actually gets to it.
And I should specify that I don't change it based on the numbers that you and Nick give when you
exactly.
go ahead of me.
No, but that was going to be my point. So my point is when I go, oh, hang on, it's time for reviews, I'm going to write down my reviews so no one thinks I'm copying them. I'm basing that on our conversation of the last, like, say, hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you must be revising your rating based on the last hour and a half or 2 hours.
Absolutely.
So what is the, if you're in a position to revise your rating, does that mean that either something has been brought to light during the review that has just, I mean, it's just elucidated you to the point of, oh my goodness, I was entirely mistaken about this episode, or one of us has actively convinced you otherwise?
Yeah, exactly. It's plastic, awesome. My review. I try to be a bit true to my initial enjoyment of the episode, like the Donna Noble Christmas episode one. I just enjoyed that so intensely that even though you hated it and you were trying to drag me down with you,
I don't hate it.
Relatively.
I really dislike it.
Relatively, you were a hater.
It makes no sense.
Whatever, dude. I really enjoyed it, 4.1. And great. So I will stick to my guns on something like that. But when I realised that perhaps I've been trying to uprate it in my mind based on the fact that I should be enjoying it more, and then you guys say what you say, and I think, well, actually, that's a truer reflection of reality, then I will gravitate towards that.
I think that's a very fair synopsis of what actually happens.
Yeah.
So quite behind the scenes.
So that's why I might suddenly start umming and ahhing and fliffing and flaffing and generally taking 10 seconds longer than I should. But I've tried to prepare to the absolute utmost.
You are so, well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, Mickey James.
Mickey
B.
James. He didn't know it. I can see how he reached that opinion.
I can't. That's the thing.
Also, I'm not that good at delivering what I write, you know?
Well, even if you think that what you're reading out, as in you reciting your past theorems on said episode. Even if anyone thinks that that is ad-libbed, what you say is often so profound and so incredibly valid that it doesn't qualify as babbling or whatever. Prattling. Is prattling an English thing, by the way, or an American thing? It seems profoundly English to me.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think Americans would waffle more than prattle.
Waffle? Oh, that's a good word.
Well, maybe that's just because I associate waffles with America, apart from burrs and potato waffles, but we're getting off topic.
I want to say Mickey James is probably English. Mickey James, if you're not, then write in and correct me. I've said a few times now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think Mickey James is wrong. You are the most prepared of all of us.
He is wrong, but he's not wrong in that I could sound more fluent, and I will work towards that.
You and I are such different people in this regard. I just go, Mickey, you're wrong. Drew is awesome. And you go, I can see where you're coming from. I'm going to improve upon myself. I think this means you're a better person than I am. But yeah, okay. Cool.
Shall we move on to Nick?
Let's do that. Nick is next up. Mickey goes about Nick. Nick, it's so... God damn it. This is...
Are you saying Mickey's been too picky about Mickey?
No. No, okay. So wait, before I read this out, I will say this. I think I told you, I certainly told Nick the following day or whenever it was in the pub, that while I read this, I was at the time editing the up-and-coming episode of Who Back When, in which I basically say this.
Oh, right.
Except I say it in, I'm going to say possibly a slightly nicer way, but still. I mean, I make the same point.
Don't penalize Mickey for his candor.
No. But I think it's kind of fun in that sense. So, Mickey, I get where you're coming from, but let's be a nicer guy about it. He says, Nick, it's so obvious that you've only seen maybe 2 serials of Doctor Who.
Right.
Which is also not true, by the way, because, I mean, for starters, he's been on way more episodes of Who Back When. I don't know how many, but certainly more than 2. Because every single time you're on Who Back When, coincidence alert, as you would say. Does he say that, by the way?
Very possible.
Possibly. Maybe. Maybe that's something I've not noticed.
Coincidence alert. I don't know.
You compare the same classic Doctor Who serials. Stop pretending you've gone through them all. And in the episode that I was editing at the time, I actually say something to the effect of, you always refer back to the Kit Peddler episodes, because...
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I get where Mickey is coming from. It's true, like, Nick will always refer back to them, but I'm not going to say he always refers back to them, like, in every, like, independent of context. When the context calls for it, yes, he does, and yeah, I guess that's his classic Who reference, but when he does it, it's perfectly valid and justifiable.
Mickey finishes his email. Rawmeister, you're better than this.
Yeah. Actually, he adds something else to that as well.
Loving the podcast, guys.
Cheers.
Mickey. So he loves the podcast.
He does love the podcast. And this is what I said to you as well at the time. I mean, the people who sent in the... can't remember who it was. I mean, we did get some hate mail. And we have talked about this before on the show. The, like, you got some historical details wrong. Like, when Jack and I were reviewing historicals, people would write in and say, like, no, that's... like, how do you not know this? Like, this is something that happened 3000 BC in that part of the world. And we'd be like, well... Jack's the one with a history degree. Like, I don't know this. Or a classics degree, sorry, I should say.
He's a classicist as well.
I think he is, yeah.
Oh,
is
right.
He? No, sorry, did modern American and ancient Roman / Greek, I guess. Well, whatever, ancient in general.
Wow.
At Oxford Uni, don't you know?
That's quite a degree.
Yeah, quite a degree. Yeah, anyway, but so people would send in these horrific things about, like, one thing that we got wrong, and then they'd always end on, great show! Keep it up!
Well, see, their intent is not rile
negative.
You.
Exactly. Yeah. Their intent is just like, oh, well, we're going to correct something. And we also love the show, and thank you so much for putting it out there.
Yeah, so give Mickey a break.
I think so as well. Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time on this one email. Shall we speed through the next few, and then, or the last few, and then just call it a day?
Let's.
So we also have a couple of emails that I've responded to that have come into whobackwhen@gmail.com. And so please feel free to email that address in future, ladies and gentlemen of podcast land. This first one comes from Liam Cahill. And Liam, if you're listening, I've already replied to you, but I'm going to bring it up anyway because I think this might be of public interest. Liam says, hi guys, is there any order to the uploads, like new Who, then upload a classic or an audio? Or is it just whatever you get time to do first? And is it every 2 weeks or again, whenever you're able to? Love the podcast. X. Thanks for the X, Liam. What do you think?
It's a lot of questions.
It's a lot of questions. I mean, first of all, it's not every 2 weeks. We do try to make this a weekly podcast, and I do realize that.
Yeah.
But every lately, now and again, that's not really been the case.
Every now and again, slippage is avoidable. One of us goes into hospital. One of us moves house.
Yeah, as is the case right now, two of us have literally just moved house. In fact, the two of us have just moved house.
Yeah. Where the fuck are the other four, by the way? But that's beside the point.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you say that. Jack has also just moved house.
I'll tell you where they are. They're in bed because it's 1:57 in the fucking morning and the clubs are turfing out. And here we are diligently reading every last email.
Because we want to deliver something to you on a weekly basis.
Yeah. And we try for that every time. But there are so many complications just in life in general.
Unfortunately. I mean, in an ideal world, this would be... I don't know how you feel about this, but in an ideal world, this would probably be my job. And then as a side activity, I'd have various other creative endeavors, like, I don't know, writing or painting or whatever, you know, but certainly not sitting in an office. And unfortunately, I have to sit in an office 5 days a week and you have to work freelance 5 days a week. And
you only get back at 7 o'clock every weekday.
Alas, that is the case because I don't work in Oxford.
And I should also add that none of us have kids, and yet it's still... this very difficult.
Yeah. Exactly. But what about the order? New Who, then upload a classic or an audio? Yeah, that is actually, that's fairly spot on, I think.
Yeah. I'm constantly angling to try and edge the New Who's ahead of the classic. That's just because I'm in.
Because you want New Who to beat classic. Is that it?
Yeah. New Who started later, but it's coming up fast. And also,
But you don't have the lost episodes in New Who. You don't have lots of like, oh, these Tennant episodes can only be heard, you know?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that that is the podcast equivalent of archaeology that you're doing there, bringing treasures unseen for decades, nay millennia, to people's ears. To people's grateful ears, which otherwise would go completely unremarked. But at the same time, New Who is much easier to do. There's a 45-minute episode available online pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Through all good content distributors and aggregators.
And there are probably more people out in podcast land who have seen it and therefore can relate to it. So, yeah, I guess I can see the appeal there. But yeah, in general, we try to alternate. So we try to do a New Who, then a classic, then a New Who, then a classic, and so on. And every now and then we shove in an audio or a bonus episode, as is the case right now.
The reason why we've just dropped 3 New Who's in a row is because we're also constantly trying to build up a can of episodes, 2 or 3 in advance, so that we have some leeway should unforeseen circumstances intervene.
And alas, as I moved house.
Constantly, every 3 weeks, something conspires to completely obliterate the
said can. Yeah, exactly. So as I was moving house and the studio was in literally in boxes, the can was used up. But also, on top of that, we had those 3 episodes of New Who. It made sense to drop them together. And so that would be, I think, the exception. Just as we don't do an episode of Classic at a time, we do a serial of Classic. So the 3-episode arc that we just had with New Who, in a way, that's a serial of Doctor Who, right? And it makes sense to drop that together or, you know, consecutively. So that would be the exception.
Yeah. Also, JD lives in Liverpool, hundreds of miles away from us.
Exactly.
And is only available 1 or 2 days a week. So
maximum.
Yeah. So
he's married. He's got a life. He's got a career and stuff.
So it's just difficult. And we have some people who want to pitch in and help us out and be co-hosts themselves. But we have to turn them down because it's just so unpredictable for us and someone, JD, in a second location to then be joined by someone in a third location and all the technical issues that you have to battle.
And by the way, it is so... flattering is kind of the wrong word. It is so lovely. It's so lovely. And there's a huge part of me that really wants to make all of that happen. Like, it really wants to make that work. But it is... it's great people have wanted to join in. And, I mean, the example... you brought this up off the record, so to speak, before we press record. The reason we're recording this bonus episode right now is because plans fell through. We were actually, I was meant to be recording a classic review to be dropped tomorrow, and instead, because that didn't work, we scrambled to do this instead, right? So if someone is waiting on Skype or on Google Hangouts or whatever in an entirely, like, on the opposite side of the globe, it just makes life very, very difficult.
Yeah, and we don't want to lose a super fan through dicking them around.
Oh, absolutely not.
Due to circumstances beyond our control.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Liam, thank you so much for sending this in. I'm really glad that you're loving the podcast. I hope we've answered your question. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about sending in a mini next time?
That'd be great. We could read that out.
Send one in for a new review.
Oh, yeah, please.
Tell me true smile.
Okay, so the last email.
Okie dokie.
That we're going to read out now before I duck out and you future punk the rest. It's from MJ, received on August the 3rd, 2016. Hi, Who Back When gang. I've been catching up on your amazing podcasts. MJ, already like you. And I'm almost caught up. Listening to Ponkin and his companions has become an important part of my daily routine. I just heard your 100th episode. Congratulations!
Thank you very much.
I recommended your show to many of my friends. MJ, you are a star.
Yes, you are.
And sometime soon, I'm going to write you a mini.
Please do. Oh my goodness, please do.
Yeah. And don't stop there.
No.
I mean, that's
write
just the
several
first one.
Minis.
Yeah, you get better as you go along.
Exactly.
You will find your muse. Thank you, Ponkin, for making Who Back When and for the solo missions.
You're more than welcome.
You're a real Whovian hero.
Aren't I just?
And thank you all for the second best show ever. Brackets. Sorry, Doctor Who still wins.
Fair enough.
Ciao, ciao. MJ.
That's the second ciao, ciao.
Yeah.
That's the second chow chow.
No cur chows yet.
No, but no cur chow. I've already replied to this email in email form, but I will say, MJ, thank you so much for sending that in. That is awesome. I'm super pleased that people are spreading the gospel of Who Back When. That's awesome. And also, there's a huge part of me that is really touched. I'm not going to say which part of me.
But it is huge. Dead giveaway.
Because of the reference, the Ponkin and his companions. I think that's pretty cool. That's a nice Doctor Who reference to begin with, but also it makes me feel like the Doctor, so that's kind of cool.
And what better note to end on than that?
Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen of Podcast Land, I really hope that you've enjoyed this bonus episode. It ended up being a lot longer. We decided to go through way more emails than we originally intended to. I hope you've enjoyed this. The next classic is going to drop very, very soon. Drew, have you had fun doing this?
I have, yes.
Shall we do another mailbag ep in however many months?
Whenever our sacks are full, let's discharge another load.
Oh, God. Audible high five. Audible high five. Fantastic. That's a 2:07 a.m. type of joke. I like that. That's great. Expert level of dirtiness. It is very, very late, so I will let you get back to your house.
Thank
Before you.
You
do, are there any last words to podcast? Like, well, actually, hang on. Wait, I will ask you this.
Okay.
Is this what you expected? Is this sort of what you expected Podcast Land to sound like? Read like? You know what I mean.
Well, everybody's extremely literate and their emails are well thought through, and even if they happen to miss the mark a little bit, they're not abusive.
No, exactly.
They are.
And even our most negative review or review email was not that negative.
Yeah, these are kind-hearted people, and it's great to learn about our audience in this way. And
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and I'm a complete newbie to this podcasting business, and it's really touching and really pleasing that these are the people who I'm indirectly interacting with. It's great.
I agree. I think it's absolutely lovely. So thank you everyone who sent something in, and to all of those who sent something in, and in case we didn't read out your email or your message today, don't worry, we'll do it in a future episode. / don't worry, I may have replied to you already via email.
I'll tell you the other thing that is pleasing is that they don't go, why do you swear all the time? This is appalling.
That's true.
I had worried that there might be a few of those.
None. Absolutely none. Yeah, maybe the explicit tag on iTunes has a positive effect in that sense. It already sort of weeds out all the people who are overly sensitive.
Yeah.
I wonder if that means that we don't have any kids listening in.
Well, maybe we don't swear enough for the kids.
That's possible.
Who even knows what kids are like these days?
On the Thunderbirds podcast, I mean, up until now, we've gone like, we're reviewing a kids show, but we've already said the F word at least 10 times.
Doctor Who is a kids show.
How are we going to deal with this? No, you're right. That's a good point. It's a family show. I mean, it should be kid friendly. Drew.
Yes.
People have been contacting whobackwhen@gmail.com, and you should continue to do so. But can people contact you directly?
Via Twitter, they can.
They can?
Yes, via my handle of @DrewBackWhen.
I'm found at DrewBackWhen, because it sounds like WhoBackWhen.
Awesome. And if you want to hit me up, then just high-five me online. I will high-five you right back. I'm @Ponken. Here's a soundbite of JD seeing how you spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponken.
Thanks, JD.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you for sending in all your emails. Once again, for the last time, henceforth, please direct all of your emails to whobackwhen@gmail.com. That's whobackwhen, all in one word.
And your mini reviews, too.
That's right.
250 words max.
Until the next time, ciao.
Bye.
That was awesome. So much fun.
Kablamo. Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account. No lie. So give us a follow. You guessed it. That's @WhoBackWhen. All in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who Back When?